The market caught in a tug of war between COVID on the one hand and stimulus on the other. Plus, banks. Is this a good cycle for them or not? And finally, Apple looks to be ready to roll out a vehicle. All this and more on The Market Wake Up by Yahoo Finance. I'm Andy Serwer, along with Emily McCormick and Jared Blickery. So I guess, yeah, yesterday the stock market, the news was pretty bad coming out of the UK especially, Emily. And then after that, well, the stimulus news sort of kept things afloat. Plus, President-elect Biden got a vaccine on live video. So digest all that for us and tell us where things panned out, if you will.
Well, Andy, you're absolutely right that the state of play around the coronavirus pandemic in the UK was really the big driver of equities in the US and overseas yesterday morning. We saw over the weekend that parts of Britain, including London, so very populous parts of the country, went back into a much tighter state of lockdown after the region had discovered a new variant of COVID-19 that experts there said was 70% more transmittable than the earlier version of the virus. Now, that really triggered a knee-jerk reaction across risk assets. We saw at the worst point of yesterday's session that the Dow was down more than 400 points or 1.4%. We also saw from a policy standpoint that over two dozen countries imposed travel bans on the UK and really had the duration of those restrictions span anywhere from a couple of days to months. We saw that the UK was contending with the possibility of food shortages because key trade partners like France had actually blocked everything from air travel to freight, but to and from the country in effort to try and stem the spread of the virus for fear of that new variant. But again, I think what a number of public health officials and epidemiologists have said now over the past 24 hours in digesting this news is that it really is a bit too early to tell exactly how dire the situation is here with this new coronavirus variant. Because with an RNA virus, really what they're saying is that these do tend to mutate over time, like the flu virus, for example. And we had actually Dr. Howard Foreman, who's a Yale University professor, on Yahoo Finance yesterday. And he also noted that for now, there's no evidence that this new strain is more virulent, no evidence it could potentially lead to more severe disease or more death than the original strain. Again, it can't be ruled out, but it's also not known yet. And also not known whether or not it's going to be resistant or impacted in a different way by the existing COVID-19 vaccine. So I think once markets had some time to really digest that, they were able, especially in US equities, to turn their attention to the stimulus bill at hand, which has been driving the markets, the hope of a stimulus bill for the past couple of weeks. And that ultimately is now again at the forefront of investor attention.
Yeah, and what a blow for the UK. I mean, they're still mired in Brexit talks, going down to the last minute up against that looming December 31st deadline. And then this news. I mean, the immediate reaction was most of their trading partners in the mainland Europe shut down transport ties with them and along with commercial jet traffic. Even in the US, New York is now requiring on several airlines that passengers get COVID tests prior to coming into the U.S., any New York City airports, which includes Newark, New Jersey. So on that front, we hope for better news. But on the stimulus front, that is going to bring a ton of much-needed relief to many markets and also a lot of pork, as you would expect with a multi-trillion dollar spending bill. A lot of times these things end up in the last minute. So good news is people who need their unemployment benefits extended or have been without them for months in many cases will get them through March, mid-March for most of them, early April at the very latest. But we also saw some provisions for, horse traders. I think that was a McConnell edition. Of course, the horse, I guess, betting industry has been reduced considerably because of the lack of or the inability to gather crowds. And then everything from beer makers to airlines set to get a little bit of piece of the pie. Airlines will be able to hire some of their furloughed employees back for a few months now. And that's much welcome news to the industry. They're getting about $15 billion. All in all, I'd say it could have been a very bad day, and it is ending up to be a pretty good day. We'll have to see what happens into the close today, but still on track for that Santa Claus rally, which begins officially 5 days before Christmas and continues into the new year.
Jared loves his Santa Claus rally. A couple other notes about the stimulus bill. You can see that there is a provision to fund rural broadband. And I think that's extremely important. I think $7 billion. And as someone who spent time in rural America, a lot of time during 2020, I can tell you it is sorely needed. And that is not nearly enough money to get the job done. But at least it's a recognition on the part of lawmakers that something needs to be done there. Also, I thought it was interesting, too, the way the compromise worked out, that the Republicans were able to give up the restrictions on the Fed, Senator Toomey from Pennsylvania. And on the other hand, the Democrats gave up aid to states and local municipalities, which they may regret. It's also worth noting, perhaps, I think that this bill is way smaller than Democrats said they would ever, ever agree to, and way bigger than what the Republicans ever said they would agree to. So you can see where I'm going with that. I think that it's nice to see a compromise happen in this new environment. And boy, I hope this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, as they say at the end of Casablanca. Let's move on to banks, though. And I know this is a subject, Emily, that's near and dear to Jared's heart. I think it might be near and dear to your heart, too, Emily, but maybe especially Jared, because it's just something that, I don't know, rings his bell. I mean, the question I want to ask you, Jared, is, I mean, we've mentioned this before, that with rates the way they are, stuck, it seems, this is not a great time to lend money. It's a great time to borrow money. That's to paraphrase Warren Buffett. But along the way here, there's all sort of zigs and zags. And I think we sort of just hit one the other day, no?
Yeah, we got some late-breaking news on Friday, which boosted bank stocks on Monday. And that was the ability of these firms to resume their buybacks, their share buybacks. And this has been a hotly contested issue. We remember a couple of quarters ago, it was expected that banks might lose their ability to pay dividends. And in fact, they're not able to increase their dividends currently, but they can pay out at the existing rate. Well, now the Federal Reserve has determined that the capital position of the biggest banks are in decent position and they can go ahead with their buybacks. JP Morgan is going to do another $30 billion. It was up over 3.5% yesterday. Goldman Sachs up 6%. Morgan Stanley up to a 2007 high. So we haven't seen prices that high for Morgan Stanley stock in 13 years. So overall, I guess it's good news for banking stock owners. We'll have to see how this plays out. The banks did weather the COVID storm very well up until now. They might have been even a little bit too conservative, hence the ability to pay some of that money back. But there is going to be another financial crisis someday, not just a pandemic crisis. So we'll have to see what kind of capital position banks are in at that point.
Absolutely, Jared. And I really think the Federal Reserve's decision late Friday last week was a massive vote of confidence, both for the largest U.S. financial institutions and the strength of their balance sheets, as well as a vote of confidence for the path of the economic recovery that the U.S. is tracking towards. And of course, there are still hurdles to be met. But again, this notion that perhaps the banks can actually start to release some of these capital reserves is saying that maybe they don't actually have to brace for as bad a downturn as may have happened in absence of a vaccine, in absence of some of the strides that have been made in terms of trying to contain the coronavirus. Now, of course, more is known just about the virus in its current form, but also just in terms of which banks here are set to be the biggest beneficiaries. Some analysts are actually pointing to Goldman Sachs specifically as a big winner here with these new measures that are allowing them to resume some of these share repurchases and share buyback programs. Because if we think about it, the way that this is actually written, banks are going to be able to make share repurchases that don't total more than the average of these banks' net income over the prior year. And when we take a look at a big bank like Goldman Sachs, even one like Morgan Stanley, for example, these actually had some really strong quarterly earnings in the latter half of this year. And a lot of that had been driven by the global markets desks, by the trading desks, because of the equity market volatility and then run up that we saw in the, call it the second through fourth quarter of this year. And also, of course, through investment banking, which underwriting had been quite strong for many of these banks this year. So despite a lot of the weak pockets that the financial sector has had overall, there are still some pockets of strength here. And this new lifting of these restrictions is only strengthening the case here for them.
Yeah, and Jared, you talked about this stock, Morgan Stanley stock. Boy, I think you got to go back to what you were saying 8 years. I think it may be even farther than that.
It's 2007, so 13-year high.
2007. You know who was running the Morgan Stanley back then?
Is that
John Mack?
Oh, John Mack. Yeah.
John Mack, and you know, then he had to go to the Japanese to get money to sort of stave off a run on the bank during the financial crisis, and that sort of would turn things around. So that is a long time from going from John Mack to James Gorman there. And boy, that would be great news for the people over at Goldman Sachs, Emily, if what you're saying is right, because they've had, not a great run of it recently. But it'll be interesting to see how this pans out, I think, in the long run. But remember, Buffett's been sort of mixed on it. He's sold out a lot, but he still has, I think, Bank of America is still a big holding of his. Let's shift gears, though, pun unintended, and talk about EVs. So actually, you can't say shifting gears with an electric vehicle. You know that because they don't have gears, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, Apple, there's been talk about Apple moving into electric vehicles before, but you know, yesterday we heard that there's maybe some more urgency, or at least a deadline approaching, whereby Tim Cook's little company would be actually producing what I will call the Apple Mobile. And it's intriguing, obviously, for all kinds of reasons. I mean, this company has the greatest consumer brand maybe in the history of humanity, certainly right now. It's amazing. The idea of an Apple car would just be so cool, so cool, so cool. Of course, it would be getting in late, and there's another very entrenched, huge, innovative disruptor with a huge market capitalization that we're going to talk about already in the business. But Emily, what do you think is going on here? And tell us how likely this is.
Absolutely, Andy. So just to back up a little bit, essentially, this whole idea of Apple moving forward with a self-driving, specifically car technology, was first reported by Reuters. And this is not the first foray that Apple would be having into the auto space, because they had a project called Project Titan that actually began back in 2014. They'd been trying to create their own vehicle as well. But what's really different this time is that they're going to try to push forward with their own battery technology. So again, sort of keeping in line with this newfound direction, like what they're doing with the Mac, in order to try to completely vertically integrate their operations from the supply chain perspective and own their battery technology. So this is something that could potentially come to fruition by 2024, according to Reuters. But like you mentioned, there are competitors already in the space here. I mean, Alphabet, for example, has Waymo, which has been in operation for more than a decade to try to create autonomous vehicle technology. We have Tesla, which we'll be getting into further as well, which of course is the $600 billion market capitalized juggernaut in the room here. And so again, though, if we're thinking about a large tech company with a large consumer presence, with a massive balance sheet, I mean, Apple ending the September quarter with almost $192 billion in cash and marketable securities, potentially a lot of resources here to work with in building out this technology.
Yeah, this is such a great story from so many different angles. And I've read some of the analyst commentary, some of the initial analyst commentary, kind of reminiscing of prior commentary when Apple first decided to announce it was getting into the vehicle space. And that is, they want Apple to partner with somebody. It takes massive capital investments to start a new car company, not including all the legal and regulatory hoops that they have to drive through. That was terrible. And I think it's going to happen, but I don't know that it's going to play out exactly according to anyone's immediate timetable. 2024 is pretty aggressive. Apple could do it with a partner. I think long-term, autonomous vehicles is a play, and Apple's AI and their UI, their user interface design, their skill with making very desirable consumer products, all that will pay off eventually. But as Apple was surging into the green on the news, we had Tesla dropping down 6.5%, and some other EV plays suffered some smaller losses, but this was Tesla's first day in the S&P 500, so kind of an inauspicious start, although we had an incredible final minute on Friday, surging 20 points to close at 695, just a huge move as fund managers rushed into the stock, so not surprised to see it off a bit today. Hopefully, the S&P 500 didn't top tick the market. One final segue here, in the NASDAQ 100, where Tesla was the biggest loser, one of the biggest gainers was Peloton. Peloton was spending its first day in the NASDAQ 100 yesterday, up over 3%. And we did get some late breaking news after the close that it is going to buy Precor. And that is a company that is involved in the manufacturing of bikes and other equipment. And that is a $420 million deal. So Peloton was up an additional 5 or 6% on that news. Have to see what happens today.
Yeah, I mean, the Tesla story, of course, is one of the truly remarkable business stories, or really societal stories of our time. But strictly speaking, from a stock market perspective, its valuation is crazy. It's more than all the other automakers combined. And we just don't know. It's such a mystery. And you know, every day if you're an investor, well, should I buy it? Well, it's too late. It's worth $100 billion. It's too late. It's worth $300 billion. And on it goes. And then the wars between the longs and the shorts, it makes it very difficult. I mean, we know that this is a company that is for real, but is the stock price for real? And so just trying to wrap your brain around it is difficult. And then, of course, imagining a battle royal between Apple and Tesla. Well, that would be a lot to talk about. So anyway, we'll be watching Apple's Apple Mobile and Tesla and how that drama plays out. Banks and the bank stocks, recovery or not, is a conversation that I think is very worth having as we look over the horizon, quickly approaching towards 2021. And then, yes, the stimulus package and bill, we'll be talking about that this week, I'm sure, and the COVID news as well. This is the Market Wake Up by Yahoo Finance. I'm Andy Serwer, along with Jared Blickery and Emily McCormick. Have a great day.